Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, I'll be discussing Big Al's suspension, the Bulls' starting rotation, and taking a sneak peek at some DFS plays for Thursday with today's co-host, Daniel Green. Daniel, welcome back to the show.
What's going on, my man? Good to have you back to the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back. I'm sure our listeners are maybe a little disappointed to have me back. It seems like you and Kyle had some fun this week talking to fantasy, I guess, lightly touching on fantasy while talking about some other things.
I mean, we talked fantasy, we talked philosophy, we talked, you know, movies, TV shows. It got deep. I mean, I think we
cried. My favorite part of the podcast that I listened to, which I haven't listened to all of it yet, but I'm working on it. My favorite part was when you guys were talking about the Twilight movies. And I was trying to tell if you guys were, you seriously couldn't remember the name of the Twilight movies, or you were both trying to be like, hey, this is like, we don't know each other that well. I don't want to admit that I'm really familiar with the Twilight movies, so I'm going to call it that vampire movie. And I couldn't get a feel for whether you guys were faking it or whether you couldn't really remember.
No. And especially, I mean, come on, you should know me better than that by now, especially as like before the show we started taping, I was singing to you for like a half hour. I have no shame when it comes to that stuff. So yeah, I mean, no. I just couldn't think of the name of the movie. And let me say this before we get to basketball: the first Twilight movie was fantastic. The others were a mess. Not a fan. The first one though was pretty good.
Fair enough. Oh, I did start to kind of, because initially I didn't believe you, and then when you guys spent 10 minutes talking about Pitch Perfect, I kind of got.
Another fantastic movie for telling you.
Well, we'll have to see where today's podcast goes, but there are some big NBA news items we want to talk about.
Yep.
I guess just a quick update before we get there. No ruling in New York, I guess, yet about the DFS. Your judge friend hasn't told us whether you can play DFS or not, right?
Yeah, no, it's pretty shocking, because now today was 2 weeks, and all of us in the legal community at least thought for sure like 2 weeks, you know, would be like, you know, the longest stretch there'd be before there'd be a decision. So, but nothing yet. And I'm sure, you know, the more I think about it and the more I've talked to other legal scholars and stuff, it's, you know, when there's a decision that's this, you know, it's going to be really highly, you know, publicized. Right. So the judge is going to make sure that the decision is really well written and it's the right decision. Cause the worst thing that can happen to you as a judge is to have your decision overturned on appeal. So I'm sure the judge is just, you know, crossing her, you know, dotting her I's and crossing her T's or whatever that phrase is, and being extra careful. Cause again, like, you know, this is a kind of a, at least it's, you know, may not be the most important decision in terms of like real life stuff, but it is going to be, you know, high publicity case, if I can not stutter so much. But so yeah, but again, any second now, any day now, I'm praying it's going to be tomorrow. We find out what the heck is going to go on. So
have you found a good solution of what you're doing without your DFS in your life?
No, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I'm just not really thinking about it too much until I find out what the judges decides, and then
you got to be doing something in the interim with those extra 8 or 10 hours a day.
Yeah, no? I mean, I don't know, because the thing is, like, you, even if I can't play, I can still, like, there's sites and stuff where I can still find all the prices, so I can still have my website and keep giving advice and doing all that stuff, because like I spend so much time doing that as well. So when I say I spend, like, you know, I probably spend like maybe 4 to 5 hours researching, and then it's probably 3 to 4 hours doing my website and giving advice and doing all that stuff. So, you know, I can still do that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Hopefully you find out soon.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I just want a resolution so I can move on, Mark. You know what I mean? Just so I can move on. I feel like I'm in limbo. It's just constant limbo, constant fear.
Ah, I hear you. I was trying to set you up there a little bit to tell us about any dates you've been on recently.
But maybe you
didn't take my hook, so I'm going to be a little less subtle about it.
Yeah. Don't be subtle, man. Maybe as the show goes on, we can definitely get to my Tinder dates.
Sounds good. There's something else for you to look forward to. I'm just glad to be back. So I was at a work conference last week, and then I spent 3 days standing in line at Disneyland, which was a lot of fun, I guess, for my kids, and not as much fun for me, but
All right.
Now I'm back.
You must have had a little fun though, right? Because Disneyland is still, I mean, come on. Some of those rides are pretty cool, right?
I'm sure this will offend more people than I would like to, but I like the whole time at Disneyland, I could not get over the amount of people that were adults that were there by themselves.
Hey, dude, I told you before the show, I went there with my girl at the time.
I know you did.
Probably like 4 or 5 years ago. She's like,
I can't understand it. Like, we waited in line 20 minutes at the Winnie the Pooh ride, which is basically a ride that moves 2 miles an hour and goes in a big circle. And there's nothing interesting about it from adults' perspective. My 2-year-old, she had a blast. She loved it. But we waited in line for 20 minutes, and I would say 85% of the people who got on the ride were adults. Like, I saw full carts full of just people over 18, and I don't understand it. We waited in line to see princesses, and there were just packs of adults in front of us. And I'm not saying you can't have some fun at Disneyland as an adult, but the things – I mean, I was there with little kids, so, like, I don't understand how there were that many adults – interested in the same thing as my 2-year-old daughter.
It is a little odd, but I will say in my defense, and it was not my first choice to go on that Disney World trip when I did get coerced to go on there. There were some cool rides. Like, there was something like, and I went to Disney World, not Disneyland. I'm not sure if there's a big difference, but like, there was like something called like the Tower of Terror, which was really sweet.
No, there are some adult rides, and that's what I'm saying. But we weren't going on the adult rides. We were
When I went there, though, we were doing the adult stuff, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I may have seen one or two princesses. But mostly it was like, we went on the Tower of Terror and then some other cool stuff. But yeah. I'm glad your kids had a good time.
About Disneyland.
What's that?
So my favorite part was the park is packed and there's always people walking around and they just run like straight into you, which is sort of obnoxious. But my favorite part was when there were two grown men and they were both looking at their phone. Like, I don't know if they were doing fantasy football or if they were looking at like the park app to try to see which one had the shortest lines. Anyway, they were walking full speed, buried in their phones, and they walked straight into each other. I laughed. It was definitely my favorite part.
That's magical. That's what dreams come true.
And it wasn't like I just caught the end. Like, I watched the whole thing unfold. I could see it happening, and I kept waiting to be disappointed by one of them looking up and like sidestepping, but they didn't do it. They just walked straight into each other. So sort of made the whole 3 days worth it. That and the churros. The churros were excellent.
Oh, yes. I remember the churros. Yes. Those things are fantastic. I mean, which maybe a good transition right to Big Al, because you know who else would love some churros, Mark? And that's Big Al. I'm telling
you. Big Al would love some churros. That's there's really no question about that. Yeah. So Big Al, who is already out with an injury, has received an additional 5-game suspension for violating the league's anti-drug program. And the interesting thing here is he can't serve that suspension until he's healthy enough to play. And I think people's initial reaction would probably be, well, why don't the Hornets just call him healthy and then he can play, or then they can say he can play and then he'll start his 5-game suspension. But the league is really tries to make sure there's no gamesmanship there. So I believe in this situation, a league official will help determine when Al Jefferson is ready to play and then he'll start serving his 5-game suspension. So we may not have Big Al back for a little while.
Yeah.
kind of interesting. I mean, he's suspended allegedly on a marijuana charge.
Right. Which probably every player, or not every, but I mean, I'm sure.
I would guess he's not the only player smoking marijuana. Yeah, I mean, like,
just reading other articles and stuff. I mean, it's,
I'm not sure why he got caught.
Yeah, the majority of players are using it. And from listening to a couple podcasts today, or not podcasts, but just radio shows when they had guests from former players, they were saying how, you kind of know when you're going to be tested for NBA with drug testing. So it's like, you have to be pretty stupid to get caught with marijuana. So I was pretty surprised that happened.
I have to admit, my initial reaction when I saw this was like, I'm on Big Al's side with the Popeye's chicken. Like, I love Popeye's chicken.
Yeah.
And I always joke that there's like, there must be drugs in it because I love it so much. Like, whenever I see it on TV, I get a craving for it. Whenever I drive by it, I have to stop. I even got it. We had a 30-minute layover, which is very, very short. I even stopped in the airport to get Popeye's chicken in the airport.
Dude, like, I don't know if I've ever had Popeye's chicken.
Oh man. So I always joke that there's drugs in Popeye's chicken. Like there's cocaine in there or something that makes me want it so much. And so when I first saw it, I know that Big Al is like a big time Popeye's chicken fan. And yeah. So I was like, well, there it is. You know, he got suspended for the Popeye's chicken drugs, but
interesting.
Seems like it was just marijuana. So I guess nothing to see there. As far as fantasy impact, I guess we should get to that at some point here. Frank Kaminsky, man, he played 28 minutes against your Miami Heat. That was sort of his, I believe that's a season high for Mr. Frank. He only had 5 points, but he had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. Pretty solid night. Who on the Hornets are you interested in, if anybody, with this Big Al news?
Yeah, so, I mean, sadly, I was watching this game live, and Charlotte just put a beating on Miami. I mean, like they were up 20 at the half, and so, you know, looking at, you know, the box score says Charlotte only won by 18, so I wouldn't look at the yeah. minutes, though, of Kaminsky tonight as a too much of an indicator.
And I do have to correct myself. He played 30 minutes in the prior game.
He did. So the last couple of games, he's gotten some nice run from them, so... You know, the fact they're using him is good to see what he can do, because earlier in the year he was getting 0 minutes. So, but you know, for me, there's only the only guy that I'm looking to add, and I did, you know, sadly add him in a couple leagues because again, this guy has flashed a little bit of potential. We know last couple of years, and I'm sure we've all added and dropped him a million times, and that's
Cody Zeller.
Yeah, it's Cody Zeller, man. I mean. They got to play someone. They got to play some big guy, right? And Cody Zeller, I mean, he still does have talent. I mean, you know, I'm not a huge fan of his game, but
what do you think his best case scenario is? Like, so in these Al Jefferson games, like as far as averages, say he gets his 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Everything breaks right for him. What do you think he can average?
I mean, I think he can give you like 16 and 8. I think he can give you like some like similar to basically what Big Al could basically give you at this point, quite honestly. If he gets the minutes, you know, the last 2 minutes just in DFS world, he played over 30 minutes and was giving me over 30 DraftKings points, which was, you know, crushing value. And, you know, he played pretty well. I mean, tonight, again, not a great box score. I mean, only 2 rebounds, but I mean, they just whooped Miami out. Like it was a blow up from the start. I mean, honestly. But again, if there's one guy that I'd look to add, it'd be Cody Zeller. And the other, sadly, again, it's two guys who have just, we've seen this, you know, before many, many times in many, many years now. Marvin Williams is the other guy who's going to get more minutes too. I mean, it just solidifies that position for Marvin at the four. And, you know, again, like Charlotte, I like Charlotte's coach, and because he keeps a pretty consistent and tight rotation for the most part. So, you know, I think we can expect, as long as Big Al is out, Marvin Williams to get some run and extended run, and Cody Zeller. And Marvin's been pretty consistent this year anyway. So
yeah, no, yeah. I kind of see it a little bit differently. I do agree those were probably where the minutes come from or go to from Big Al. But I'll also looks like Kaminsky's probably going to get some run during the time anyway.
Yeah, but do you think he'll get enough to be fantasy relevant?
Probably. I mean,
he'll get minutes. Like
I'm not sure that he's worse than Cody Zeller. Like Cody Zeller is a pretty empty. I don't agree that I don't even think if everything breaks right, he can do 16 and 8. Maybe the rebounds are there. I doubt that he can average that many points. He's not going to give you a lot of anything else as far as assists, steals, 3-pointers.
No,
I'm not looking to add him. I think his very best case scenario is probably like 12 points, maybe 11 points and 7 rebounds, and that's, you know, with the percentages he shoots, that's, you know, and no blocks and no steals, really, it's not something I'm interested in.
Yeah, I mean to me that's probably more likely, but again, like if he it's a question of minutes. I mean, for the most part in all these players, it's for me it's a matter of minutes. If you tell me he's going to get 32 minutes a night, I think he's going to be fantasy relevant, and I think the numbers, you know, 16 and 8 is doable. But if he's going to be getting 26 to 28 and Frank Kaminsky is going to be getting, you know, 22 to 24, then it's probably your scenario is much more likely, and Cody can probably be left on the waiver wires where hopefully he can stay for his lifetime with his brother.
Now, Marvin Williams, I feel a little bit differently about, because he has been productive this season.
Yes.
He's gotten more minutes. throughout the season a little bit more consistently. I don't think the numbers are going to be sort of jump off the page, but I think he can give you close to a steal and a block. I think he can give you fairly good production and rebounds. I think he can get you over a three-pointer. I think he can score a little bit. So I think just because of the, like, Cody Zeller can only do a couple of things and he can't even do them well. And Marvin Williams can do a lot of things, you know, pretty good. So yep. I would way rather go with Marvin Williams.
Yeah.
If the two of them are available.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think between the two, there's no question. But I mean, like you said, I mean, Marvin's been, he's been, I mean, I on my shows, I call him a consistency monster. I mean, he's been shockingly, he's been pretty consistent. I mean, and, you know, in the previous years he's been, you know, so volatile. It's been really frustrating. He's been pretty consistent this year. And so I think his minutes, he's going to be getting over 30 minutes a game and he is used. He's going to be useful to your fantasy team. So,
you know, seems like Spencer Haas or Tyler Hansbrough aren't really going to benefit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was 3 games ago now, Haas had a really good game and you know, I had a lot of people freak out who were playing DFS and I was like, hold your horses. It's Spencer Haas. You know, and then, you know, sure enough now, you know, again, he played okay tonight, but yeah, I mean, I think rightfully so, Charlotte is going to give any extra minutes they get, you know, are first going to go to Frank Kaminsky, you know, which they should, I think.
Yeah. They basically passed on 4 first-round draft picks for him. So they might as well see if they,
and
he's a viable NBA player.
And tonight was funny because it was Kaminsky going up against Justice Winslow, right? So, and I think that was what the 9th and 10th picks in the draft. And I know everyone in Miami was laughing and, you know, hysterically because they think they, you know, they pulled this great thing over Michael Jordan, who drafted Kaminsky and a bunch of other teams to get Winslow. But dude, Kaminsky, man, he does have some talent. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see what kind of NBA player he develops into.
Miami traded 2 unprotected first round picks for Goran Dragic and then paid him $80 million. I don't think they have like a lot of room to brag at this point.
Dragic is turning it around, man.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, you know, he entirely is. I mean, tonight again, they just got blown out from jump tonight. But before tonight, the last 3 games, he's looked really solid. He looked like the guy that I saw in Phoenix. So, I'm much more optimistic about that. Dragic can salvage the season and turn things around.
That would certainly help some of my fantasy team.
Now, but Miami has issues. I mean, there's a couple other players that we need to talk about from this. First, Nick Batum, man, like for Charlotte, he's so good. Like, I mean, and we've all seen flashes in Portland, like, you know, but then for the most part, they had Aldridge, then they got Lillard, and then Batum was just, then he was banged up, and he had these weird lingering injuries, and he would just, you know, linger by the three-point line and shoot threes. But he's basically their point guard right now. Like, Kemba is basically the two guard. He's really not a distributor, and he's never been a pass-first point guard. Nicholas Batum is their point guard. Like, they run the offense through him. Like, 11 assists tonight. Like, he's playing so well, you know, so – like, I'm a big fan of him. Like, I don't know in terms of fantasy. Like, I was trying to think, like, would it be a sell high moment? Or, like, I think he can continue this production, though, like what he's been doing. So,
where do you think he's valued in leagues right now?
I'm not sure. Like, I was going to ask you. You're the expert on that. I'm just a DFS guy.
That's not true. No, I mean, I think he's clearly a top 50 guy and probably a top, you know, probably close to a top 25 guy. And I don't know that you would get that value for him if you tried to trade him. So
right.
I think you'd hold on to him.
Yeah,
and potentially try to acquire him if you could.
Right. And then that's what I was thinking too. I mean, I see, you know,
he's a better rotisserie guy than he is a head to head guy.
Yeah.
I think just because of the breadth of production that he gives you. But no, obviously the assists, you hit the nail on the head. Like, the assists are the big thing. The fact that he's going to give you, there aren't a lot of guys that can approach a three-pointer, a steal, and a block. Like, we always talk about guys who do those things.
Yep.
And he's going to get close to that. There's nobody really that goes over that very often. But then to also add on 5 assists per game, it's a really rare combination to find.
Yeah, and I think that number is going to go up. As I've been watching Charlotte play, they keep running the offense more and more through him. You know, obviously it helps that Big Al is out. But, you know, like, man, like, watching him the last, like, 3 or 4 games, like, I'm like, this is the guy that I expected to see in Portland, but obviously, you know, with Dame and Lillard, handling the ball, just Batum didn't have those opportunities, but he does now, and he's making the most of it. It was just really impressive to see him play these last 3 to 4 games. Even before that, the last couple of weeks, he's just been really, really fun basketball to watch. And a guy that, you know, yeah, in a couple of leagues, I did try to trade for him, and I got turned down. But I like him. And the other guy we got to talk about, Mark, is Hassan Whiteside, because again tonight again blowout, so it's not the box score is not really, you know, a great indicator, but 23 minutes tonight, and he's been getting benched in fourth quarters. You know, as you know, as we all know now, the NBA has kind of shifted, and you know, big guys are kind of, you know, the ancient dinosaurs, and everyone's playing small ball. So, like, I don't know what to do with Whiteside. I could see him sitting out many fourth quarters this year and not even reaching 30 minutes. So, like, you know, here's the thing, though.
Like, last six games, he's played only 25 minutes a game. He's averaged 8 points and 8 rebounds, basically his usual 0 assists, shooting 45% from the free throw line. But he's still averaging almost 4 blocks a game.
Yep.
So that one category, even with just 25 minutes, that one category makes him pretty valuable.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, he's still a very valuable player, but I thought he could make a turn to become, like, you know, similar to, like, Drummond. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going to be the case.
I think so. The thing with Whiteside is I don't think he's a very consistent player. Like, I think he's going to have stretches like this where he's frustrating. I think he's going to have stretches where you think that he's a first-round pick. And I think weirdly, we've gotten to this point where that's almost like the fluctuation is almost consistent.
Yeah.
Like I fully expect in a few weeks or maybe a few months, I don't know how long it's going to take for him to start stringing together a bunch of great games again, where he's getting, you know, he's scoring in the 20s and he's rebounding 14, 15 rebounds a game to go along with his insane block numbers. And I just think at that point, you probably unload him. You try to pick up a healthy Rudy Gobert, or try to pick up Andre Drummond, or something like that, where you can cash in on his highs, knowing that the lows are coming.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my advice: I think you hold on to him right now. You maybe even buy low. Like if you have an active league where you can trade a lot, if you can trade for him right now, and just. If the owner of Whiteside is so frustrated, they don't want to bother with him anymore, and then you can sell him in a few weeks for a lot more, I think that might be a viable strategy as well.
Yeah, I mean, guys that can win
one category for you by themselves, they're pretty hard to come by still. So I wouldn't do anything drastic with Whiteside.
And Mark, so I realized that I use the word again a lot. Someone mentioned this to me on Twitter. So if I keep saying the word again, I want you to call me out on it and yell at me.
I want you to keep doing it, man. Don't listen to the Twitter haters.
but I was surprised. I do say that word a lot. But so in terms of Whiteside, you know, I almost said again right there. But so in terms of Whiteside, yeah, if you keep looking at his box scores, don't be that surprised if it's under 30 minutes, sadly. Just Spoelstra.
Yeah. I think that's a fair expectation. I just think he can do – he can do what he needs to do in 25 minutes. He's one of the few players in the league like that.
Yep. So. Agreed.
All right. Let's move on to the next piece of news. Daniel, this was kind of exciting. This was basically the Chicago Bulls. I don't know if it was Fred Hoiberg or their PR people, but they were trying to emotionally destroy you tonight.
Just with brutal.
With lineup changes.
Just brutal. This is the second time Hoiberg has done this to us this year. I mean, earlier in the year, as we were talking pre-show, you know, like Joakim Noah, you know, started or practiced with the starters. So we all thought Joakim is going to start and Mirotić is going to be benched. And then like 3 minutes, or I think actually it came out, you know, after 9 o'clock.
So it was what happened. We heard rumblings all day that Taj Gibson was going to start. And in fact, I think he was quoted as saying he was going to start.
Yep.
And then right before tip off, was it Bulls' PR who said, no, Mirotić is going to actually start.
Yeah. I don't know who it was, but just all of a sudden, someone told us that nope, it's Mirotić, not Gibson.
When the lineups actually, when the game happened on ESPN, Gibson actually started, and then he played 20 minutes.
Yep. So I mean, basically, it was just you were being yo-yoed around the entire day for nothing with the Bulls. I mean, the right play was to fade all these guys and not play anyone, maybe except Pau Gasol.
Go with Pau Gasol. Yeah. So what they ended up doing was they played Pau Gasol 33 minutes, and then they played Joakim Noah, Nikola Mirotić, and Taj Gibson, basically all 20 minutes. Which means that none of them were very useful. Miritich still is the most useful player here. I mean, he had 2 3-pointers, a steal, a block, and 10 points in 22 minutes, which, again, if we extrapolate that out to the probably the 30 minutes that we'd all like to see him be playing, that's a pretty useful fantasy player. But Noah, you know, he only had 5 points, 5 rebounds. He had six assists, which is pretty useful. And then Gibson didn't do a whole lot. He had 8 points and 7 rebounds. He's sort of like your boy Cody Zeller, really. You know, he's only going to get those rebounds are really the only category he's going to be able to help in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and for my show today, I did a live show before, you know, before the DFS game started up, and everyone was so excited that Gibson was starting, and I was like, look, guys, like, we already know what Gibson can give you. I mean, your dog knows what he can give you. Give you two. I mean, he's going to get you a couple points, like maybe 10 points and maybe 8 rebounds, maybe a block, and that's about it. And that's if he gets 26, 28 minutes, and he only got 20 tonight. So that was just depressing. I mean, this is the kind of box score as a, you know, fantasy player, season-long or DFS, you just see it and cringe because it's right. Just a lot of low 20s everywhere, and it's just utter chaos by Fred Hoiberg right now. And it doesn't help that Boston won this game. But Chicago has been struggling lately. So I'm not sure what to make really of the front court. I mean, I did watch some of this game, and Joakim Noah actually looked good. This was the first game I've seen him this year. Like, he looked like spry. He had some energy. You know, I don't know, like, you know, if he did some special from that chicken before the game or something, but you know, cause he's looked broken most of the year, but he looked really good. And, you know, and if he could get minutes, you know, he gets assists for a big man and does a lot of cool things on the court that can help you. But I'm not sure what Hoiberg is going to do. But, you know, the coolest thing or the best thing that I liked about the Bulls box score was finally Jimmy Butler gets a lot of shots, 24 shots to Derrick Rose, only 11 shots. Like last week, you know, in this last show I did with Kyle.
You really murdered Derrick Rose in that show.
Come on. You have to admit, right? He's such an inefficient, just disgrace most nights. Maybe that's a little strong.
I am curious to see, like, I would want to know if the Bulls had an amnesty to use still, if they would use it on him.
That would be a really good question. I think the right answer would be that they should. Now, like, PR wise, could they take that hit? You know, and I know he is from Chicago, and they, you know, a lot of people still love him there. But like, I think it would be the right thing to do for that team. Don't you think it just, he holds the rest of that team back?
Problem is they don't have a better option. Like, just removing Derrick Rose from the equation, I don't know.
Mark, I would play 4-on-5. that is the sad thing, right? I mean, you can't play Heinrich. You can't play Etwan Moore. Aaron Brooks, even when he's healthy, I mean, that guy, you know, you can't play someone 3 feet tall. It's just not going to work in the NBA. So, yeah, you are right. They're limited with options. But Derrick Rose tonight, I mean, like, you know, if he played games with 11 shots and 6 assists, like, that would be nice to see. Like, you know, letting Butler have, you know, some more shots, and Pau Gasol, yeah. And again, Pau Gasol got 17 shots. That was really good to see. So that's just, you know, again, like, so many games. I just said again. You gotta yell at me.
You're good, man. Forget about the Twitter haters.
No. This guy, he was very friendly. It was very, very productive criticism. But, you know, I just want to see games where it's just not Rose, like, 20 shots, Butler 10, and Gasol 12, you know?
Yeah. The other news that we probably need to touch on tonight, Daniel, is Marc Gasol. There were some questions before the game whether he would play with his ankle injury. Coach Jaeger basically just said, you know, we're going to try him out. He's going to play a few minutes, and we'll go from there. So, I was certainly worried about him. I thought about even yanking him out of a couple of my starting lineups, and luckily I did not, because he played a full complement of 35 minutes. He had 19 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, shot 9 of 18 from the field. It was a heck of a game from our buddy Marc Gasol.
The Memphis box score. Well, first of all, did you watch the end of this game? Did you see how Memphis won? Where Matt Barnes made a half-court three-pointer.
Basically a half-court three-pointer when they had time on the clock and a timeout to use.
I mean, it was just shocking. That was one of the most bizarre endings that I've seen. I can't remember seeing an NBA game that ended on someone making a half-court shot to win it. So that was exciting. It was good stuff. But in terms of, you know, first of all, for the DFS players out there, this is how you win a DFS large GPP. When you have a player that's questionable, you're not sure if he's going to play. Last minute, you find out he's going to play. You know he's going to be low owned because no one's going to want to play him that night. You put him in your lineup, you know, especially if that guy is a legitimate player and has some upside like Marc Gasol. He's going to be really low owned. I think Marc Gasol was under 2-3% owned tonight. And look at it. He crushed it. And you know,
definitely crushed it. Yeah.
And that's how you can win a big GPP and make a lot of money in DFS land.
And but, as far as season long leagues go, there's no need to worry about him going forward. If you have like a games limit or something, feel free to play him. He looks like the ankle's okay to me.
And then look who else woke up, you know, and joined the land of the living. Zach Randolph, 21 points, 16 rebounds. Like, when's the last time he's had like even a decent game?
I think that's called the Pistons played Ersan Ilyasova 34 minutes.
Dude, don't ruin my high of seeing a good Zach Randolph game. I mean, I think he did it for his other like chunky friend Al Jefferson. Don't you? Don't you think he was inspired? Come on, he must have been a little bit inspired.
I think there's a chance that Zach Randolph has had that same infraction before, so he might.
Yeah,
he might be feeling a little bit of Al Jefferson's pain.
That's right. And then check out our boy. I don't know why I said he's our boy. We've never discussed him ever before, but look at Matt Barnes again. 30 minutes, 11 rebounds. Like he's becoming, I know he's becoming DFS relevant. I don't know if we're ready to call him like season long relevant.
He's one half court shot away from having shot like two of seven from the field and having 5 points. I just think he's one of those guys. He's kind of like Cody Zeller. If everything breaks right, he's like the 120th best player in your league. And I just, you know,
yeah,
I don't have a lot of interest in guys whose best case scenario is that they're a fringe player. And if not everything breaks right, that they're not worth owning.
I am surprised that he's getting this much run though, because he looked so miserable last year that, you know, playing in Los Angeles with the Clippers. So it's pretty surprising that he's been consistently playing 26 to 28 minutes the last few weeks, and he's been producing. It's just, I did not expect this from that guy at this point. And not to mention, he made this like the worst night in Derek Fisher's, you know, it must be, you know, at least the last 2 years for, you know, the worst night in Derek Fisher's life. Because not only does Matt Barnes, you know, his nemesis hit a half-court shot to win it, the Knicks just get crushed.
Yeah. And speaking of other guys that probably shouldn't be owned, Terrence Ross. There was a lot of excitement about him with the injury situation with DeMarre Carroll. There was a lot of excitement after Terrence Ross went out and scored 22 points on four three-pointers. Had a couple of steals last game, played 38 minutes in a win against the Lakers. But when he played against a real NBA team on Wednesday night, he played a good amount of minutes again. He played 27 minutes, but he only had six points and 3 rebounds. Now, being guarded by the Lakers and then being guarded by Kawhi Leonard is about as drastic a difference as you can get in the NBA. So I think his true production is in the middle, but do you think it's closer to the what he did against Los Angeles, or do you think what we can expect from him is closer to what we saw against San Antonio?
I mean, if I had to choose, it's closer to the San Antonio one.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I mean, like, you know, we've seen Terrence Ross too many dang times to get like drawn into having one good game of just making, you know, 4, 5, 6 three-pointers against, like you said, a D-League team. So, I just can't get overly excited to see, you know, to want to jump to a waiver wires and pick up Terrence Ross.
No, I totally agree. I think he's fool's gold. I think he might have a couple of good games here or there. I don't want to own him.
And he might have like a nice dunk, a nice highlight, but I don't think it's gonna help your fantasy team.
Yeah, didn't they give him like $40 million in the offseason?
Yeah, I don't remember. I know he got a deal, but I don't remember how much it was. It wouldn't shock me if it was that much. But like I will say, and when I heard DeMarre Carroll was gonna be out, the guy that I jumped on and you know, sadly in DFS that night, you know, it didn't work out because I went, you know, the night that Terrence Ross went off, I played Patrick Patterson. So I thought the two guys who would see some more run would be Corey Joseph and Patrick Patterson. And that ultimately may be the case. But you know, like, again, I don't think either of those two are probably fantasy relevant either, though. You know, I'm looking at Patrick Patterson got 34 minutes tonight. That's a lot of minutes. And, I mean, if you look at Toronto's rotation, the cool thing about this, again, Dwayne Casey played a pretty, you know, eight guys. The minutes, you know, well, Lowry and DeRozan always play a ton of minutes. But, you know, Luis Scola got 33 minutes. I mean, dear God, you know, hot tub time machine right there. 16 points and 8 boards for Luis Scola. I mean, he's had a bunch of good games this year. It's surprising that he can still even do anything on the court. But so the 34 minutes, I mean, that's impressive. But, do you think Patrick Patterson can do enough to, you know, become relevant, you know?
He's kind of one of those guys that does enough interesting things. He's like, you know, kind of like we were talking about with Marvin Williams. And actually, that's not a bad comparison, I think. He can hit some three-pointers. The thing is, he's not going to give you the steals and blocks that Marvin Williams probably will. He's just not great at any one thing, but if you need a guy that can fill in and maybe get, I don't know what, like, again, what's his upside? Probably 11 points, 6 rebounds and a 3-pointer.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe that's a couple of steals that can be sort of useful for a little while, but he's not a guy I'm targeting really.
Yeah, he's not really a scorer. He's more of an energy guy. I mean, like, I slightly disagree with you in the Marvin Williams comparison, because there's games where it looks like Marvin Williams doesn't have a pulse. He just looks so lifeless on the court. Where Patrick Patterson plays with a lot of energy. So, you know, I'm a little, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, you know, and I do like watching Patrick Patterson play, and I think he can do things like get some steals and fill up that box score. But again, I don't think he's going to do enough to become fantasy relevant. And again, you know, I'm not sure how consistent I don't think he's going to be getting 34 minutes tonight. Like, I know they wanted to play him tonight to match up against Kawhi. So yeah. I think that's why he got some extended minutes tonight.
All right. Do you want to talk about some DFS plays?
Sure, we can do that. So tomorrow we have, again, Thursdays are normally a really crappy slate to play DFS. It's normally just like the two TNT games and then you might have like one or two other games. I'm trying to get to my to the lineup that I made for tomorrow. I mean, we do have maybe, I guess it's not the game of the year anymore because we had that in Lakers, Philly, but we do have a beautiful game tomorrow that I know all of us are going to be excited to watch. And that is Philly, Brooklyn, Mark.
Oh goodness.
I know you're going to be tuned into that one, right? that can't be the TNT game. How great would that be if that's the TNT game? There's no way that is.
Would you rather watch that, or would you rather watch a D-League game?
I mean, sadly, I'd rather watch the Philly-Brooklyn just because I'll have lots of money riding on Philly-Brooklyn DFS. So
you got some good plays on them. I was surprised when I logged in. I haven't played a lot recently, obviously, with my vacation, but yeah. Brook Lopez at 8,300 and Thaddeus Young at 7,000 seemed like pretty good plays to me.
Whoa. Brook Lopez, 8.3K. What site was that on? That was
DraftKings.
Are you sure?
Do you want to talk about Draft FanDuel?
No. I can't even play on FanDuel. Hold on. I'm trying to get up the lineup that I made, because Brook Lopez, I mean, if his price was in the, it was like mid sevens all week. So I thought it was still, I didn't think it was that high yet. Hold on. Let me investigate this right now. Brook Lopez, 7.7K tomorrow against Philly.
Even better. I'll take him. Twice as nice.
So I love that, Matt. I like that play a lot. Another play I like, a guy that, you know, so Brooklyn's interesting right now because obviously Hollis Jefferson is out for who knows how long, a couple months maybe. So, you know, they're starting Bogdanovich. You know, two games ago, he didn't look good, didn't get a lot of minutes. So I know in DFS land, a lot of people faded him last game. I told a lot of my followers, hold the course. This guy's got some talent. He's a streaky shooter. You know, he can do some things on the court. And last game, you know, he played pretty well. I think he got a lot of minutes. So I like playing him tomorrow. He's only 4.2K. Again, against Philly, like there's certain teams. I mean, really the Lakers and Philly are the two teams that I like to attack the most. I mean, there's basically you can play. I mean, they're horrible defending almost every position. So I like Bogdanovich at 4.2K. I also don't mind my boy Shane Larkin at 4.5K. You know, he's going to get some extended run now. He's going to be able to play the point and let Jared Jack move over to the two. I know Brooklyn's wanted to do this all year anyway. So I like Shane Larkin at 4.5K tomorrow.
I'm trying to find somebody that I can do a no halftime challenge with you against Shane Larkin.
And you know what's surprising? Because I keep waiting for this guy to fail. One, because I just don't like how he's destroyed, especially Dallas last year. Rajon Rondo. And he keeps producing, man. Like, can we put like some type of curse on him so he starts like, you know, not playing well? But again,
he's already on Sacramento, man. What more do you want?
I want him to be like shipped to like China and not be able to play in the NBA.
Here, I've got a no halftime challenge that I think might be interesting to you.
Yeah, what's up?
Your man crush Shane Larkin versus my man crush Nikola Mirotić.
That's interesting. All right, I'm game. I'm down. Wait, who do the Bulls play tomorrow? Wait, hold on. Who do the Bulls play?
The Bulls are playing the Clippers.
Clippers. Yeah, I will take that challenge. My boy Shane, because Brooklyn is going to blow out Philly, and then Shane's going to get some extra garbage time minutes. This is going to be like Ish Smith dominating you all over again, Mark.
The part that you're forgetting is that Shane Larkin isn't good at basketball.
No. I am. What you're forgetting is how bad Philly is at basketball, which I think is the key. Yeah, because Shane Larkin is not, you know, in terms of like legitimate basketball skills, I'm with you. He's not that talented. But, you know, so yeah, that's actually, I'll take you up on that one. I think that's a legitimate challenge. The question, I mean, ultimately, it's going to come down to minutes, right? Which, who gets more minutes between the two tomorrow?
I will take Nikola Mirotić even if he gets less minutes. I think he's going to do some. He's already disappointed me enough times. I'm not really worried about going that direction, but I feel like his upside is so much more than Shane Larkin's. I'm willing to take the risk on it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree the upside is more, but I think for tomorrow, I think I'll go with my boy Larkin. And So tomorrow's like the highest over under tomorrow is the Atlanta OKC game. So again,
I also saw you promoting. You're working with No Halftime a little bit now too. I saw you promoting a fade on Porzingis. Is that right?
Wait, what did I do?
You were going against Porzingis.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. I created a fantastic No Halftime matchup. Thaddeus Young versus Porzingis.
How dare you? Don't you live in New York? They're gonna run you out of town, man.
Please, they will not. And no one can find me, man. I'm very evasive. And
I get in on that action? Can I take Porzingis against Thaddeus Young?
You can indeed. And
my goodness.
And more importantly, what I want you to do is check out Porzingis' box score today. 13 minutes, Mark, 4 points. You know what's happening right now? Hold on. Listen to the sound. Ready? You hear that? That's Porzingis crashing into the rookie wall, my friend.
Doesn't exist. You know what Porzingis is doing tonight? Getting ready for Sacramento. It's basically like the exact same scene as from Rocky IV. He's just sitting there getting psyched out, man.
I mean, I am a little worried that Porzingis is going to have a good game tomorrow, but Thaddeus Young, super consistent. And again, I love him playing Philly. I'm a big Thaddeus Young fan, you know, tomorrow. And I think he will destroy poor Zingod. And let me just mention this. Carmelo Anthony, you stink. I'm sick of you. I can't play you in DFS anymore. You're ruining my life. You're ruining my life. I played you a ton tonight. You're down to 7.6K. That's the lowest I've seen your price in 4 years, and you still disappoint me. I'm through with you. That's it. We're breaking up.
I'm trying to look and see if we can figure out a trifecta where I can take Carmelo Anthony against someone on your team.
I mean, Carmelo – I mean, man, that guy just stinks right now. I mean, he's always been just a one-trick pony. But now it's interesting. Like, do you think he's like really banged up? Like, what's his deal?
I think he's old. I mean, it sounds weird because I remember when he was playing at Syracuse, but I think he's
No, I'm with you. Like, remember, like Carmelo, Wade, Bosh, LeBron, all those guys came in the same year. This is their 13th year in the league. Like, that means we're old. I mean,
no, that's true.
Those guys like they have a ton of wear and tear on their body. Like,
here's one for you. Last one. No halftime challenge. Carmelo Anthony versus Rajon Rondo.
Oh, and you want Carmelo?
Yeah, I'll take Carmelo.
Mark, you're just giving me money. Why not just hand me money immediately? Like,
I'm going to be so happy when Carmelo Anthony disappoints you on your team, Rondo, and then wins me extra money for me.
In fact, I may give you like 10 free points, like fantasy points, and still beat you with Rondo tomorrow.
I'll take it.
Yeah, Melo is just like, I'm telling you, I can't, like, I cried too many tears, like, you know. Well, first of all, let me just, and before we end the show, and I'm going to destroy you with the Carmelo one. And anyone else who wants to take me up on that one, oh, dear God, please just tweet at me, or you can find me wherever. You know, yeah, Carmelo versus, who did we say? I don't even remember.
Carmelo versus Rondo.
Yeah, Carmelo versus Rondo. Yeah, that's just that's such a juicy matchup. I would have actually almost taken Darren Collison versus Carmelo. That's how little faith I have in Carmelo.
I don't think you're thinking straight over there.
No, trust me. I'm thinking two strikes. I'm looking at how much money I made or lost tonight based on Carmelo and his stat line. But let me tell you something. The guy who crushed me yesterday, and if anyone played DFS, play this guy. And I don't think they did because he was like 2% owned. And I thought I was being super sneaky, and this did not work out. Oh, and as I'm talking to you, I get a text. It says the F word, and then it says effing 6 points from Porzingis tonight. but the guy who crushed me last night, Mark, played 7 minutes for Cleveland. Guess who it was? Played 7 minutes, and he starts.
Mozgov.
Yeah.
Timofey.
Like, I mean, I thought he was 3.7K on DraftKings. I thought I needed a center under 4K. He was the only option. I said, wow, he only needs to give me like 12 DraftKings points so I can, you know, to make my team really, really to give me a solid squad. So I jumped all over it, and, you know, I played him a lot. And the Cleveland, they're playing Portland. Portland's on the third game in four nights, and they were, you know, came out and just ambushed Cleveland. It was shocking. And this, to start the second half, Blatt, stupid, simple Blatt, went with like a starting lineup of like Cunningham and like Delavadova, Dellavedova. He basically played five little people, and Mozgov did not see the floor again. And it was – so I was just drenched in whiskey last night, Mark.
Daniel, your rant brings up a good point. Wouldn't it be nice if for daily fantasy, if you had the option to not have to fill out an entire lineup, if you could just pick one player to play?
It would be nice.
It would be nice. And now you can do that with the No Halftime app, which we've been already talking about. Maybe we should have introduced first, but hopefully if you listen to the podcast, you've been introduced to the No Halftime app. It's basically, I would say, the Tinder of fantasy, daily fantasy.
And
I haven't gotten No Halftime's reaction to that comparison yet or not. I think it's a flattering one. Basically, you can look at a single matchup, one player versus one player, which is what you and I have been talking about. That's how I'm excited to go 3 for 3 against you tomorrow, actually. But we can go a single player versus a single player. There's no salaries to worry about. There's no lineups to worry about. You set up the matchup and you click accept with your buddies. Or if you want to do a public matchup, you can scroll through all the matchups that are out there and you basically swipe left if you want it, or swipe right if you don't, and go look at the next matchup. And the best part is you can receive a bonus $25 just for signing up with the promo code BBALL. That's BBALL. And that's a gift to you for listening to the podcast. Go check it out. That's a No Halftime app. You can download on any Apple product. And I know you've been playing some No Halftime lately, Daniel. I've been playing some No Halftime. So you can play against either of us. If any of the matchups that we talked about today are interesting to you, on either side, you can play against, you know, if you want to take the losing side, you can come play against me. If you want to take the winning side, you can go play against Daniel, either Carmelo Anthony or Porzingis. Or what was the other one we talked about? Miritich.
Writing them down.
I've got Miritich, I got Carmelo, and I got Porzingis. I love that lineup.
I mean, all I wrote down was plus $15 is what I wrote down. It's just three. Like, I'm only worried about the Miritich one because my boy Shane Larkin, the minutes can waffle a little bit. But the other two, I just feel so great about. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight.
Sounds good. Why don't you plug your stuff, and then we'll wrap up and get out of here.
All right, so you can find me at my lovely website, which is dgcourtroomdfs.com. Lots of cool content on there. Again, mostly DFS related. And it's very innovative. I know Mark is a big fan of the site.
It's my homepage.
Right? It's like when you open, when you click on your phone, like normally like it would be your kids, you have my homepage of my website, right?
It's weird, but it's true.
Yeah, right? So you go to my website there, And then you can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. And green is like the color. And I'm going to add that now because I like how, you know, you say, you know, Mark, you know, as in like with a C, like Marc Gasol. So I'm going to say green, like the color. So Daniel.
Is there another way to spell green?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like my whole life, everyone adds an E on the end and it's so frustrating.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so like, yeah. So green, like the color.
Right. Go check out Daniel all those places. Go hit him up on Twitter. Tell him thanks for being on the podcast. And that's it for our show today. Hopefully you'll listen. Hopefully you had a good time. If you liked it, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen. Don't forget to hit subscribe and come check us out tomorrow when we talk rest of season rankings with our friend Tyler Watts. Until then, enjoy some basketball, folks. Talk to you later. Bye.